Okay. So I have the pleasure of inviting the guest speaker all the way from Basingstoke Healing Springs Church. Put your hands together for Brother Tola, please.
Thank you. Thank you. It's my name on the screen. So, a few weeks ago, Pastor said to me that, but I want you to share God's word in church. And I said, that's not happening. No way. I've done something similar, but it's many years ago, you see. So, we had a session in Sister Tony's house recently, a few months ago. You know, so, but standing in front of people and telling about God's word, Well, yeah, we went back and forth, and we got to the point where you said, okay, yeah, I'll go for it, you know. It's just going to be God speaking to us, you know, to you. I'm going to be saying some things, but Holy Spirit might be telling you something different. You know, it's not going to be for 10 hours. It could be for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, so forgive me. And don't give me the awkward look. Don't smile. If I say something, don't say, what? I can't believe you said that. Don't say that. Just pretend like, yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay? Right, good. So let's pray. Let's pray. I wanted you to say something to the Holy Spirit in your heart and say, Holy Spirit, I'm here. Say something to me, Holy Spirit. Let it be a transformation today, Holy Spirit. I want to have an experience today. I'm tired of that experience. I'm tired of that thing. I'm tired of whatever is bothering you. I put it at the feet of Jesus today. Holy Spirit, let your word transform my life today. Say something. Let me be edified by the superiority of your wisdom. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, I humble myself under your hands. I humble myself under your hands. Speak through me. Let it be a transformation. Let it be conviction. Let it be change of lives today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's start this exciting journey. So we had the scriptures read to us, Genesis. And we saw the beauty of the Garden of Eden. You know, all the day one, day two, day three, up to day six, creation of God. And God kept saying it was good. And in fact, in the Bible also spoke about the rivers by the east, by the west, you know. You try and imagine that. And you say, that must be one of the most beautiful. In fact, that's the most beautiful garden there has to be. I don't know if it's still on earth. If you know they were banished out of the garden, I don't know if he went off earth. Pastor would know that. And you know, he was taken to heaven, I don't know. So then God did one thing. Let's Genesis chapter 2. He gives them to the So from verse 15, the Bible says, the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. Now, so the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And the man chose a name for each one. He gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals, but still there was no helper just right for him. So now think about this project, this beautiful garden, yeah? And, you know, even in Basingstoke, a street in Basingstoke. Can you imagine God telling you, Amanda, say, for instance, name all the microorganisms, the things, the plants, the species of stuff that we can't see, name everything. In today's world, that would be a massive project. But you're going to have a project manager, a product owner, a solution architect, an IT person. But we had just one man doing all of that. He had ability. He had grace. You know, this garden was so beautiful. And we had just this man maintaining that beautiful garden. And he was calling things names. That sounds like Superman to me. I don't know about you. You know, because this time, to the best of our understanding, you're going to need a project team to deliver that. Now, let's look at something else that God did about this man. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. Now, where he said, let us make man. Okay, yeah, sorry. Genesis chapter 1, actually, it's chapter 1. Let's go back. Yeah. So let us see another. Let's observe something else God did about this man. Then God said, verse 26. Someone has given me a look, so he got me a bit nervous there. No, it's a joke. Then God said, let us make human beings. That's what this version says. Let us make man in our image. They would look like us. Yeah? They will look like us. To be, you know what, I'm going to change this version. I don't like this version. Because the one I used to practice was a bit different. I'll put you on the phone. Okay, so then God said, let us make man in our image. So man will look like us, will look like God, okay? According to our likeness, they will be like us in many other respects, okay? Now, this is before, you know, all of the naming stuff, the projects, you know, that we spoke about a few minutes ago that Adam did. So these are the things preceding that. Man in his image, in our likeness. Now, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. So that's one of the characters of God. He has dominion. The Bible says his dominion is forever. Now he released that to man. He said, let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. So man had the extension of God's glory. You know, he had the extension of God's. It was like God. He had dominion. He looked like God. He could talk like God. He could do things. You know, remember the Superman? He could name, he could do that project. He didn't need an IT person. He didn't need a solution architect. He just get his job done. And in fact, I don't remember, there was no record of him complaining that, God, I need help. It was God I identified. That was provision. You know, he was naming stuff, and God created Eve. He caused him to sleep. He woke up, and he probably saw Eve, and Eve was being nice to him. Hi, Adam. You shall call woman. And walked away. And he said, you know, it's really like, because this guy was just working. He had the ability. Then something happened. Something happened. Let's look at what happened. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Something strange happened. Now, think about that perfection. Extension of God's dominance in man. Looks like us, has dominion like us, is powerful like us, he could do great things. The first man, the first Adam, like, you know, called Jesus the second Adam, so the first Adam. Then something strange happened. The title of this message, by the way, I don't think I've said it, depending on God, okay? Depending on God. So chapter 3, let's examine this thing that happened, this strange thing that happened. The serpent, this chapter 3 from verse 1, I'm going to take it from verse 1. The serpent was the shrewdest. Let me take it from this book. I don't like this word. So now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, as God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. He asked her a question. He asked her a question. The serpent engaged in a conversation with, you can say, the first Adam still, Eve. Yeah, she was the closest to Adam. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden." She started to have conversation. She started to entertain the conversation. "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, this time he's not asking a question, he makes a declarative statement. He said, "You will not surely die." Contradiction, right? Now think about it, from perfection, from dominance, from likeness of God in many respects, to a conversation with the enemy, entertaining the enemy. And the enemy makes a declarative statement. He says, "You shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day..." This is verse 5 now. Now let's follow this carefully. "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God." So when we spoke about this the first time, he said, in our likeness, we want him to be like us, have dominion like us. Now the enemy is saying something similar. You will be like God. You are already like God, but you have to be told again that you will be like... How many times does the enemy tell us this every day? Very casual conversation. You will be like, attacking your identity. You will be like, God has already given the perfect structure, but he's telling you, by the way, there's another structure. You will be like God. Now, there's a difference between the devil's like and the like God has set up from the start, right? Now, let's go straight away to... let's examine another time when the devil had a conversation with someone. Someone open to Matthew chapter 4, please. Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to open it with this. So right here. I mean, I want you to think about it. It's a very, very casual conversation. And this is what happens. You know, some of us have made decisions in the past. And we're probably, you know, dealing with some consequences of the decisions, and we're relying on the Holy Spirit to navigate us away from the consequence, relying on his wisdom, you know, his rod and the staff, they comfort me. You know, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, we're trying to do that, but the enemy is pounding us every day with those words. That's, why are you wasting your time doing this? Why do you believe in those people? Why are you going to that ministry? You know, the call to prayer, why are you wasting your time? Do you think God is really answering this prayer? A very casual dose of the conversation drops. He tells you what you will be like, the shortcut, how you can make it quickly. It drops in our hearts every day. Well, let's examine what the second Adam, how we handled the situation. So, is someone there? Matthew chapter 4. We start from verse 1. So, actually, I'm going to let someone read now. Who can read? Yeah, NKJV actually. So from verse 1.
Comes from the mouth of God. Then.
Okay, so can you stop? Thank you. Now, the devil comes again. After, this is the Jesus that we call. Jesus, in the name of Jesus, accept Jesus. Jesus is the world's solution. Now, this is that Jesus after fasting for 40 days. So if the devil can come and tell Jesus, who are you, will beat you in this game. Believe me, he will beat you in this game. Right? And he went to meet Jesus and say, after fasting 40 days, he is hungry, obviously. He said, you know, don't forget he's man. And he said, turn that stone to bread. He said, if you are the Son of God, right? So it was a conditional statement. The first time it was a question. Did God say, you cannot eat from the trees from this garden? Now he makes a conditional statement. If you're the Son of God, very cunning guy. You know, is it true? Is that what you are like? If you have the dominion they say you have, you know, if God really loves you, how many times does he pound us with this sort of conversation every day? If. Are you really that Christian? Have you really forgiven that person? No. Remember, God will not forgive you if you've not forgiven. So stop wasting your time. You know, so he said, if you're the Son of God, turn that stone to bread. And what did Jesus do? Carefully, listen. Jesus did not answer questions. Jesus has not got time for that. Jesus responded with a superior confession. He responded with dominance. He said, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. It is written. Now, where did that word come from? From the inside. It came from the inside. No conversation. Jesus responded. So, how many times when you have these thoughts going on in your head and you're in the wilderness, how many times do you get to say, no, get behind me, devil, it is written? Or how many times do you accept the thoughts going through your head and say, you know? So because, you know, there are a lot of people in the world, we are believers, but we're not necessarily convicted. We don't have conviction. We believe Jesus is powerful. We believe, you know, great church today. We have this sensation going in our head. Oh, I like that music. Oh, our Lord, you're good. But we have no conviction. So that is why we're excited. And when it comes to the time to put your money where your mouth is that how they say it? Yeah. Yeah, it's nice. You just have this little God I'm worshiping here. You just get out of this place, please. Thank you very much. You know. So Jesus went back and said, It is written. And now this is what brings me to the point of this message. That what does dependence on God mean? It means that you have something, you apply yourself to something that enables you to trust God. You expose yourself. You have an intimacy with God. Oh, that's all you're doing. Intimacy. He said, let this mind be in you. You have an exposure to something that enables you, that gives you grace to be in the driving seat against the enemy. You have a total dependence. You trust not on your own understanding. Because in this game, the devil will beat you. You know. Now, so you trust not on your own understanding, but you rely on what? The word of God. So Jesus said, it is written, the man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out from the mouth of God. Okay. Here's some of the things I think we should talk about. Can we go to James chapter 1, verse 25? I think I'm going to take it there. James chapter 1, verse 25. Can someone read when you're there? Yep.
But he who looks unto the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work.
Can you stop there? So he's not a forgetful hearer but a what? A doer. So what does it mean to be a doer? It means you do. Are you doing? You do? You do? What exactly are you doing? You meditate on the perfect law of liberty and you're doing, you can't do what you have to have it on the inside. You when you're doing something, you are demonstrating something, you're expressing the dominance, the glory, the blessing that God has given you. But when you're not exposed to it, how can you? We're going to go to the other part of it. So now, here's the key. This is like a call to action, because in Healing Springs, as we are all sat here, we are like a family. You know, God has brought us from different backgrounds, different circumstances in our lives, and see this ministry as a gift of God to you, particularly young people. Well, everybody's young in this place. I was going to call names and I'll feel old, but I'm a young man too. Well, maybe people still in school, like Mumba, Agnes, Audrey, school people, Sean. Like, you know, your parents, you know, give you this sort of thing. They bring you to church and you hear this God's word coming to you every now and then. See it as the time of your life when the gift is given to you, that will stay in you, that will enable you to do and do and do. So the scripture says that but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not what? A forgetful hearer. This is all you have to do. Exposure to God's word. That's the evidence that you're depending on God, because your life depends on it. A man shall not live by bread alone, by the God you are worshiping alone, but by every word. Here's the key. You know, someone said something, and I think it was Kenneth Hagin. He said, if imagine in this place as a family, every 20 minutes every morning, 20 minutes before bed, you pick up a scripture and you say, Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit, I believe, is the busiest person on earth. Was he here? What's Holy Spirit doing? Guiding people into truth and helping us. So if you just say like a baby, that Holy Spirit, I know you're here to help me. That's what God said. So I believe that. I'm convinced by that. I'm going to meditate on this scripture. I'm seeking you diligently. Let me find you. Let me find you, Holy Spirit. Maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes on that scripture, day and night, day and night. Our testimonies in this place will change. We will become a powerful force. So this is like a call to action to stop depending on ourselves, but to depend on God. And we do that by way of our meditation on God's word. 20 minutes. Some of us have the grace to fast. Some of us have the grace to fast. If you can go for it, go for it. Monday of every week, Tuesday, Wednesday of every week. Some people will go 20. I know someone that went 21 days recently. My wife is smiling. Yeah, this lady went 21 days, and all she was eating was vegetables or something very light, in water, just water. Imagine that. Yeah. So yeah, if you have the grace to do that, you know, you can do that. But you know, it's key to meditate on God's word. It's a call to action. So, and you on the perfect liberty. So let's look at the last part of that verse. He said, he said, this one will be what? Will be what? Will be blessed in whatever they do. They will be blessed. Let's go to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm 1. Let's look at Psalm 1 verse 2. Let's examine another part. Just want to look at the first line. It said, Psalm 1 verse 2. It said, but his delight is in what? Is everyone there? Sorry. Yeah? So, but his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like what? A tree planted by the rivers of water. Does that sound like that first dominion man that we spoke about? That first Adam, when God said, have dominion, you know, whatever you call what, whatever it was, that's what he said. That brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever, let's read that together, and whatever he does, he shall prosper. Whatever he does, he shall prosper. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. So that's my message. That's my message, to depend on God and not to lean on our own understanding. And, you know, let's just it was good we examined, you know, how the enemy said, you know, twist the likeness. And that's what he does every day in our normal life. He makes it look very casual, very easy, you know, like God. Yes, you'll be like God. Just take the shortcut. It's easy. And in fact, he said Eve was looking at the fruit and it was beautiful in her eyes. She entertained the conversation. But when we go for that key of meditation day and night, you are likely to be able to say, it is written. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. You shall not test the Lord thy God. It is written, I am the head, I am not the tail. It is written that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It is written that whatever is born of God, whatever is born of God, overcomes the world. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, his weight is with me. I'm the Lord thy God that lifts up your right hand and says to you, do not fear. I will help you. You're likely to be able to say that, and that is where the victory stands. That's the evidence that you depend on God. If you study the word like your life depends on it, and I see our testimony in this church changing. We are one family with a vision. There's a destiny. There's a place to go. If we don't catch it, we won't deliver it. You know, think about it, the children of Israel. God, see the things God did. Parting the Red Sea. That was, I mean, look at, think about it. You see everyone, CNN, everyone would cry like, oh, we saw the Atlantic Ocean parted two ways. That's a massive thing that God did there. You know, working for 40 years and not changing clothes. You know, all the fashion lines going out of business. And they had free health care as well. I think there was a part, there was a serpent on the pole or something that if they were sick, they just needed to look at the serpent and they would be healed. Yeah, exactly. She said, hmm. And they had a cloud of fire, you know, giving them visibility as they walked through the darkness. You know, but God called them stiff-necked people. That was the difficult. All of those things were big, but they were easy. God was just like that. Ooh, fire, boom, ba, ba. But when it came to their mind, that seeing me as your king, God struggled. Do you agree? God struggled. Let this mind. So this is the thing. When it comes to what your conviction is, you know, it comes when you have communion with the Holy Spirit regularly. The mind is the battlefield. You know, even if God appears here today and does some miracle, but wow, God, it means some people can still go home and still, yeah, that was good, but God, I have this little God I'm serving at home, I would rather. But whereas that's the biggest testimony, it's the mind. We feed the mind. It's a key, it's a recommendation, you know, 20 minutes every morning, 20 minutes before bed, the scripture, Holy Spirit, pray like a baby. Like a baby. Holy Spirit, I know you're here to help me. You're here to guide me to all truth. There's this body in my heart. Let me find you. Did you not say that if I seek you diligently, you reward me? That's what you said. So I'm going to find you here now. I'm going to read it. Just read it over and over again. Pastor shares the message on email. I don't know if it's a broad email. You know, you can listen to it over and over again if you're driving. You know, with no bearing, with the intention to have revelation. And our testimonies will change. We will have boldness. Something that happened, the testimony I gave recently, where there was a meeting that was going to take place, and I didn't want the meeting to take place at work, you know, and we prayed at home fellowship, and I had just boldness. I didn't game it. You don't have to imagine, how am I going to have the boldness? No. Just keep meditating. And I had this boldness. I had this belief that, yeah, done. It's not going to happen. But the meeting was already set up. I was talking to this guy at work, very senior guy, and I was saying to him, oh, yeah, Tola, we're going to have the meeting. Did I help you already? I said, no, the meeting is not going to happen. That's what I said to him. I don't know when I said it. The meeting, he said, but Tola, what did you mean? It's not going to happen. They set it up already. People are coming. I said, no, it's not going to happen. And that was it. It didn't happen. Till date, they've not even done the meeting. They keep moving around. you know, the boldness just came. I don't know where it came from. It's because of the faith, the conviction I had following the prayer, you know. So I want to encourage us. I want us to see ourselves as a family with a destiny, with a force. It's a call to action. Let us depend on God. One of the things that the Word of God will help you to achieve is to identify the little gods in our lives, you know, that are inhibiting the power of God, you know, and help us to overcome them. Yeah? So that's the end of our message. This is the second time I'm saying that. So let's pray. I'm sure some, the Holy Spirit has said something to you. Pastor Wanish.
Question.
If I can't answer the question, I'm going to pass the mic to my pastor.
No, I'm just being a member today. Pastor, I have a question. So the question is, I saw that you referred many times to these little gods. So I feel like, you know, that can be confusing to someone. That, what is a little god? I worship God. I don't have any other god in my life. I mean, I'm only worshiping Yahweh, Jehovah is the God. So when you talk about little gods, can you just shed more light on what you mean by these little gods in our lives,
yeah,
you know, that we defer to, mm-hmm, rather than God, that we listen to, mm-hmm, rather than the word of God?
Yeah. Okay. by definition, little god will be anything that feeds your flesh, that satisfies you as a person, that can, in fact, be the reason why you're not praying, the reason why you intellectualize God and see God as, well, we know he's over there. It could be EastEnders, who you watch every time. It could be a conversation. I hit a nerve there. So it could be a phone call that you just like to make, a gossip. You know, why are you unlikely to meditate on God's word in the morning and in the night? It could even be your children, not children. It could be your children. It could be, you know, whatever that it's, you deem to be more important than the activities of God, the spiritual activities that's become a God, something that you cannot say no to. For instance, if there's a call to prayer, there's going to be football tonight, that is a God, believe me. If there's any area of your life where you have no conviction, you believe God maybe cannot move in that area. In fact, no, there's a problem you're praying for. You're not seeing any of that thing the Holy Spirit is telling you. You're not seeing nothing else about your destiny. If that can be a God. Like, but they say God can do all things, and I've been praying for these things, and God is saying, the Holy Spirit is saying, no, don't worry about that. Just look at this place. That can be a God. So anything that stops you from doing the simple spiritual activity that replaces them is a God. No, okay. Yes.
Okay. So I ask if he called it gods because it's something that we idolize.
In some respect, yeah, we do idolize. Sometimes, normally, sometimes we don't even know that's what we're doing. It needs to be told to us. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand that that's, in fact, what you're doing. And sometimes you just don't know. There was a time I spent a lot of time on Twitter. Yeah, and I'm arguing politics and all that. Yeah, and I talk all this stock market stuff as well. We talk all sort of stuff. Then the Holy Spirit brought it to my attention. This has become an idol. Yeah, I was saying to my wife recently that she would ask me something. I said, I don't usually go on Twitter anymore. Not that as much as before. You know, the Spirit pointed it out to me. So, but you're unlikely to have the experience of the Holy Spirit pointing out to you if you don't expose yourself, little exposure. Don't worry, 20 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, day and night. And we're teaching you wisdom. Let's read something about wisdom quickly. Wisdom. And that's your head there. Let's Proverbs chapter 2, verse 10. Is it Proverbs? Yeah, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 10. It says, is everyone there? So think about wisdom as whatever the Holy Spirit is releasing into your heart. That's wisdom. It comes from heaven. Only God who is wise. Yeah, no one else is. You know, like Pastor has said many times, whatever you know is just you being smart. Wisdom is from heaven. So when wisdom, now I'm reading verse from verse 10, Proverbs 2. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will what? It will preserve you. Understanding will, it will keep you. To deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speak vast things. So wisdom, understanding will keep you. Young people, us, and the ones in school particularly, be wise. Be wise. See what the Lord is doing to you through your parents. The exposure to God's word. Be wise. It will preserve you. It will keep you.